Our scripture reading today comes from Psalm 65. Hear these words. Praise is due to you, O God in Zion, and to you shall vows be performed. O you who answer prayer, to you all flesh shall come. When deeds of iniquity overwhelm us, you forgive our transgressions. Happy are those whom you choose and bring near to live in your courts. We shall be satisfied with the goodness of your house, your holy temple. By awesome deeds you answer us with deliverance, O God of our salvation. You are the hope of all the ends of the earth and of the farthest seas. By your strength you establish the mountains. You are girded with might. You silence the roaring of the seas, the roaring of their waves, the tumult of the peoples. Those who live at earth's farthest bounds are awed by your signs. You make the gateways of the morning and the evening shout for joy. You visit the earth and water it. You greatly enrich it. The river of God is full of water. You provide the people with grain, for so you have prepared it. You water its furrows abundantly, settling its ridges, softening it with showers and blessing its growth. You crown the year with your bounty. Your wagon tracks overflow with richness. The pastures of the wilderness overflow. The hills gird themselves with joy. The meadows clothe themselves with flocks. The valleys deck themselves with grain. They shout and sing together for joy. And this is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God.
Let us pray. O God of light and love, give us a spirit of wisdom and insight, enlighten the eyes of our hearts that we may be able to perceive what the Spirit may say to us in these moments together. We come listening for the advance of the mission of Jesus, for the nurture of our own lives, and for the good of all. In the name and the way of Jesus. Amen. When the pandemic shutdown occurred back in March of 2020, scarcity mentality spurred a rush on bathroom tissue. The shelves at stores became empty and barren, and online it was scarce and expensive. You know, 32 years ago, Stephen R. Covey first published his book, The 7 Habits of Highly Effective People, and gave us this now popular language of scarcity mindset or mentality and the abundance mindset. He made the case that there is enough pie to go around and that a mindset of abundance about the sufficiency of resources is healthier for everyone and for the world of commerce and human interaction. We also know from brain science studies that when the scarcity mindset grips us with its fear that there is not enough of whatever, it limits our ability to discern more hopeful scenarios and options. It just kind of shuts down our thinking. As a part of this series called Hope Endures, today we explore the value and wisdom of moving from a heart set or a mindset of scarcity to one of abundant sufficiency and in all arenas of life, not only with regard to financial concerns. So Psalm 65 that we just heard read celebrates this abundant sufficiency of both God and God's world. God is described as abundantly open to every person and all of humanity, hearing the prayers of all flesh, all humanity. God is the great listening one who hears the cries of not enough and the often unthinking exclamations and sometimes downright desperate exclamations of, "Oh my God." God hears every desperate cry of the poor. I lost my job, the crops have failed, or my spouse is sick, or my retirement has evaporated. How will we pay the bills, buy the food, feed the children? God hears it all. God perceives all the corruption and sin and injustice and all the hoarding and the greed and the lusty consumption of resources. And as the psalmist writes, when our acts of iniquity or sin overwhelm us, God even forgives our transgressions. That is grace. God not only listens widely and deeply to all the needs of humanity, God works to bring about deliverance and salvation, to liberate us from our transgressions caused by fear and scarcity, that hoarding, grabbing, withholding, overconsumption mentality. That is grace. That is generous, abundant, unearned love. That is the abundance mentality of God made so powerfully clear in Jesus. God invites us into intimate, spiritual relationship that is characterized by a sense of satisfaction. Quote, we shall be satisfied with the goodness of your house, your holy temple, sings this biblical poet. We are invited to affirm God as the hope for satisfaction and sufficiency that endures, stretching to reach every person at any and every conceivable point on earth or even across the seas. It is the nature of God to keep on listening, forgiving, and providing, and to deliver such sufficient provision through people who are both blessed with capacity and have a mindset of, there is enough if we share. In 1969, Neil Ford was a little kid traveling with his dad and their luggage in an old Oldsmobile going from Los Angeles to Oakland. The water pump blows out as they're going along, and they are stranded out on the highway at least 10 miles from any town. It's long before cell phones, of course, and they are sure they're going to have to walk for quite a while. About that time, a California cowboy farmer pulls in front of them, pulls over on the side of the road in his flatbed truck, and offers to tow them to the next small town. Well, Neil's dad has no cash on him, only a Chevron gas card in his wallet, and he says, wait, I don't have any money to pay you. And the guy looks at him, not saying a word, looks at him in a way that says, well, I wasn't going to charge you. So he tows them to town. But it's a Sunday and nothing is open, so the guy gets his mechanic to come and open his mechanic shop, and of course then they discover that they need a part, they need this water pump, and so then they call the parts guy, the local owner of the parts store, to roust him out of what he's doing, to come down, and so he comes down and provides the part so that they can fix the car. And not imagining that anyone can be so trusting and so unconcerned about the money, Neil's dad protests more strongly, wait, I don't have the money to pay for all this. They assure him that it'll be okay, and so the parts guy hands over the water pump, and finally the guy with the truck says, well, look, you know, if it'll make you feel better, I need to unload a bunch of watermelons off of a railroad car onto my flatbed truck, and you can help me with that. And so they go to the rail yard, and they begin doing that on a very hot day, and after a while, Neil and his dad are just drenched with sweat. And about that time, their old Oldsmobile comes rolling up, running like a top with the mechanic behind the wheel. Well, they are very happy about it, and his father says to them, fellas, I just don't know how to thank you for all of this help, and turns to go And the mechanic says rather abruptly, whoa, where do you think you're going? And Neil said he could see on his dad's face all the fear and distrust and the idea that, you know, what's going to happen now? And his muscles stiffened up. And the mechanic could see this in his reaction. And he said, no, wait. What I mean is my wife is about to fix Sunday dinner. And you and your boy can come to our home and eat with us and get a shower. And you can change your shirt and then you can enjoy the drive. And so he said, we went to their house and we had fried chicken and corn on the cob from the chickens on their farm and the corn that they'd grown on the farm. And he said, to this day, that is the best meal that I ever had. God, it is the nature of God to keep on listening, providing, giving, caring. Not to create excess or luxury or extreme comforts or some sort of convenience only, but to meet the needs of those who are stranded, struggling, and truly don't have enough. We know, of course, that there is enormous evidence in our world that many do not have enough. Hunger, the need for decent drinking water, varieties of oppression or disease and exploitation, and all kinds of things beg for attention. And such need generates prayer for help in all kinds of languages, prayers that reach the ears of God who hears in every tongue and even hears the language of the desperate heart. Certainly there is true scarcity for far too many. Now, our celebration of the generous blessings and grace of God that is found in the way of Jesus, experienced and remembered in our worship in the house of the Lord, and enjoyed as the blessings of our circumstances of life and career and jobs and conveniences, all of that calls us to consider how we work alongside God to provide for the needs of others. One such way, of course, is what we're doing together today with Rise Against Hunger, this mission project on our campus, like the dad and the son loading watermelon as a way of expressing gratitude for the gifts that were given them. We have a role to play in concert with God's generosity, God's will and way in the world. Now, this psalm also highlights God as the sender of the rains that results in abundant crops of grain and wild pastures populated with large flocks of sheep. And in this pre-scientific but inspired poetry, the psalmist imagines great channels of water, perhaps like we think of the jet streams that meteorologists talk about, running from God's heavenly storehouse to the earth. In that old cosmology, where the rain falls then generously on the land, enriching the soil, softening the ridges and the clods of dry and resistant cultivated ground, so that the earth then is dripping with rain and spotted with puddles and ponds until the meadows and the valleys are covered with grain, and that grain will become bread, and the pastures of the hills are woolly with sheep that will provide milk and meat and cheese. The poet invites us to hear in our hearts that the hills are alive with the sound of music in joyful celebration of God's frequent generosity. Even the gateways of the morning and evening shout for joy at the gift of rain. The sunrise opens the day with a song of light, and the sunset paints the sky beautiful with a melody of gladness. The psalmist is celebrating the abundance of God and God's world. What we learn is that God is always working to open up opportunity. Rain is not the wheat field, per se, of course, nor is it the flocks on the hills. But it does make possible the growing and the harvest, and the grass that feeds the livestock, God works through many means, through many kinds of ways, and of course, desires to work through us, God's people, through you and through me, disciples of Jesus. Many of us are familiar with the story of Jesus feeding a massive crowd of people who were following him. In the Gospel of John, chapter 6, Jesus asked the disciples where they can buy bread to feed 5,000 plus people. He is intentionally testing their mindset, scarcity or abundance. Well, they protest, "Jesus, there is no way we have enough money to feed all these people. Do you realize how much that would cost?" Secondly, Andrew tells Jesus that the only food on site is a lean meal of 2 fish and 5 biscuits that belong to a young lad. Their point, too much need, not enough resources. In one of the Gospels, the disciples tell Jesus to send the crowds away to get their food. And Jesus catches that foul ball and pitches it back to the disciples and tells them not to send them away, but tell the people to stay and eat with them. Jesus then blesses and multiplies the bread and the fish, and there is enough to feed 5,000 plus people and just a little left over. 12 baskets full, with the number 12 meant to remind us of the miracle of the manna, the bread that fell from the sky in the wilderness, in the Exodus story when the 12 tribes of Israel were warned against hoarding, but just see it as abundant sufficiency. The gospel writers are teaching us that to follow Jesus is to have a mindset that with God's help, we can meet great challenges, and that that means setting aside any naysaying scarcity thoughts and embracing what are real challenges as opportunities to demonstrate and participate in bringing about the abundant sufficiency of God. So let me ask you this. Was the lad glad to give up what we might think of as his 2 halves of a tuna sandwich and 3 baguettes? What was his attitude? There's an old children's song that goes like this: 2 little fishes, 5 loaves of bread, 5,000 people by Jesus were fed. This is what happened when one little lad gladly gave Jesus all that he had. The song speculates about how the boy felt. Of course, the scriptures don't tell us at all. But I want to ask you, how would you imagine the boy's attitude? Well, with a scarcity mindset and a bit of 21st century culture thrown in, we might think the boy was yelling, "No, no, those are mine. My mom gave those to me for my lunch. You can't have them." But with a mindset of grace and abundance, then we might well imagine that this boy is relinquishing what he has for himself for the good of all people, all those who are gathered, an act of trust in his God who is now being revealed in Jesus right there before him. We could also imagine both, that the boy angrily is trying to protect his stuff at first, but then either one of the disciples or maybe an aunt or an uncle that's with him or some adult from his village that's there looks to him and smiles and says, "It's okay." And then with a reluctant smile, the young guy lets go. These scriptures seek to enrich our hope by shaping our attitudes, by moving us from a scarcity mindset, fearing that there's not enough and that there won't be enough, to a mindset that there can be abundant sufficiency if we dare to share for the common good. The way we see things, the way we interpret the insufficiencies and the needs of our community and how we might respond and our world in all of its complications is of utmost importance. Our mindset, our heart set, makes the difference. Because of our penchant for refurbishing vintage and antique furniture, my wife Elizabeth and I have taken to watching a TV show occasionally called Escape to the Chateau. It's the story of Dick and Angel, an engineer who's also a very capable chef and a great handyman, and an artistic designer, Angel, both from England, who purchased a 150-year-old country chateau, a castle-like five-story home of 45 rooms surrounded by a moat. It has not been occupied in 40 years and is the ultimate money pit. Scarcity is an understatement. No running water, no heat, no air conditioning, and a house inspection report with 200 pages of reasons not to buy this house. But they saw potential. Angel said that they are the kind of people who don't live by all the reasons not to do something, but who can see the vision of what can be. They know it will strain their resources, but with prudence and patience and persistence, they forge ahead and bring the place back to life one room at a time, even installing a round elevator in one of the towers. It's a vacuum-powered elevator that works much like the mechanism at the drive-in bank. Slowly, they make the place functional as both a home and a business for destination weddings and food lovers' weekends. God is persistent and patient and prudent. God is always working in the work of restoring and rejuvenating lives and society and the world. God is at work in your life and my life. God is at work in the world as sure as there is sunshine and rain. We see the work of God when we are willing to look for it. We see and experience the work of God when we confess and thwart our fear of scarcity and then claim our trust in abundant sufficiency. So now let me offer one proven method to build hope that endures by moving us away from scarcity thinking toward a heart sure of abundant sufficiency. I have recommended something similar to this before, and this may not be new to you, but if you're like me, hearing it again might be needed or helpful. So let me just say, let's practice a morning and evening focus on gratitude. It's one of the best ways to increase our belief in abundant sufficiency. Verse 8 of this psalm asserts that people all over the earth are awed by signs of God's grace and abundance, and that God makes the gateways of the morning and the evening shout for joy. The gateways, as I mentioned earlier, are the entry and the exit of the sun, the horizons of sunrise and sunset that bookend our days. So let's take time in the morning to plan to be grateful, to name what the day may hold, and pray how we might be grateful when that comes, or whatever may come. whatever challenges or successes we might expect or run into. And then find time at the end of the day to list three things that went well and why they went well. Three things that can serve as signs of God's provision or blessing. And then give thanks and finish with our own version of shouting for joy. Look up and say, perhaps, just look up and say aloud, "Thank you, God, for these three things." Or write it down with a bold exclamation point, and or share it with someone verbally or on social media or by text, and celebrate the abundant sufficiency of God and how we can be a part of making that a reality in many places with many people. To God be the glory. Amen. And now, friends, as you go into life to avoid scarcity and embrace abundant sufficiency, may the God of all hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing that hope may abound in you by the power of the Holy Spirit. Amen.